Well, hello, I am Matt Williamson. This is the Locked On NFL Podcast. Belly up to my bar. We've got a game here in my hometown tonight, which could be the first of two. I mean, I'm pretty certain the Tennessee and Pittsburgh are going to end up in the playoffs. I don't know if they'll play each other, but this game could have playoff ramifications. Who's to say? It's a tough one for me to wrap my head around, to be honest with you. Not because it's on a short week compared to other Steeler games that we break down ad nauseum all week. I just don't exactly know what to think of the Titans. And let's just start. I mean, when they have the ball, let's look at the matchups up front first. I really like the Titans' tackles. And as much as I like Watt and, to a lesser degree, Dupree, they haven't been playing quite as well the last few weeks. They've slowed down a little bit. So I think those edge players, especially in the passing game, favors the Titans tonight, but not by leaps and bounds. And we could see James Harrison. He was inactive last week. I would think this would be a great game to unleash him. He's really good run defender on the edge, you know, really crack down on those Mariota keepers or offset, off tackle, things like that. Plus, he has he's such a great leverage player against someone like Lawan. I think he could do well in spot duty. Don't know if we'll see him or not, but I do think you'll see a lot of base 3-4, and I'll get to that in a minute, but the Titans' interior, their offensive line, is a good one. It's better than the name value, you know what I mean? They're not a lot of big-name dudes in there, but they are a good unit. But I think they're at a big disadvantage against Hargrave, Alualu, and especially Tuitt, and especially Hayward. Those guys are playing really, really well. And I think that running on the interior against the Steelers is going to be a problem. And we know that's, you know, what basically right up the Titans' alley. I mean, that's something that they want to do with a two-headed backfield. I'm not sure we've had this conversation, but the Henry-Murray situation, part of me thinks they would be better off just picking one because they both seem like volume backs that in a way kind of get in each other's way that give one of those dudes 25 carries and see if he's gashing people at the end of games. And I know that doesn't necessarily make a lot of sense, but there's some backs that just need touches and flow. Like we saw Henry at Alabama, or like we saw Murray with the Cowboys, or Murray before Henry became relevant. So I don't know that they're doing that. That's the best usage of them, to kind of keep popping them in and out of the lineup. But I do think we'll see some design Mariota runs and some misdirection type stuff and real good ball handling that we see from him, option. And the Steelers haven't been the most disciplined against the run. They've made some mental errors, and Shazier's a big culprit with that. That'll be important tonight, you know, that they can't crash too hard. They're going to have to keep their lane discipline. But I do think, well, I'm not sure. This is part of my uncertainty about how I would attack the Steelers if I'm the Titans. Because generally, more so than any team in the league, you'll see one wide receiver on first and 10 on the field for Tennessee. You'll see two backs, and not, you know, Henry and Murray. I'm talking about a fullback, a big back, and two tight ends. You'll see three tight ends. You'll see heavy personnel, is my point. They use three receiver sets less than any team in the league. However, if they're not running well on Pittsburgh, and I think that'll be difficult, few have. I mean, especially on the interior runs, I mentioned that I think the Steelers' trench situation favors Pittsburgh. Steelers are also probably going to be without their starting free safety, Mitchell, and definitely without Hayden, who's been a really good corner for them this year. And that's going to be Cody Sensabaugh. And now the Tennessee has Corey Davis back in the mix. And I think Mariota works best out of the spread, out of the shotgun. I wonder if you try to attack a secondary that's a little light right now with Decker, Matthews, and Davis. More three receiver sets than we've ever seen. It's not what we've seen, like I said, but it seems like that would be the best method to do things. And especially if your tackles can keep the edge pressure, you know, pretty well under wraps. Maybe split out Delanie Walker. He's been playing better. The Steelers have been outstanding against tight ends, but I can see Walker doing some damage. You know, I mean, he's a very good player, but Shazier and Davis have done a nice job collectively there. But Mitchell's out. I mean, that's noteworthy. Steelers have also had a couple blown coverages of late. And, you know, your quarterback, your starting free safety, Mitchell, being out doesn't seem real promising from that regard. Could there be a mental gaffe, a communication error? I think it's more likely now with him out of the lineup. So, that's that side of the ball. The other side of the ball, Tennessee plays the run a lot better than they do the pass. I think Jarrell Casey is their best defensive player and is a wrecking ball on the inside. But overall, they don't rush the passer all that well, although I still think Morgan and Arakpo are good players. And by the numbers they're getting, especially Arakpo, are getting more pressures and sacks, so maybe the sacks are coming. Steelers' line's awfully good, though. And I think Roethlisberger will be pretty well protected. Maybe LeBeau, I mean, and for those of you who don't know, Malarkey started his career in Pittsburgh. He was a tight end here, and then Cowher gave him his start. He was offense coordinator here. Eventually, LeBeau, obviously the massive Pittsburgh ties. But, I mean, how many of these Steelers has really played with or against LeBeau? I mean, a handful, but he knows Ben well, is my point. He knows Tomlin well. And also, if you look at their staff, it's crazy. They have, like, six or seven former Steelers on their staff, including Russ Grimm, who was the O-line coach here for a long time, Deshay Townsend. They have quite a few guys. Serious, serious Steeler ties, more so than any team in the league. So it's going to be kind of a special game for their staff. And coming to Heinz Field, and they know Ben. I'm wondering how much that's at play, and it is a super short week, of course. Just a little tidbit there. But anyway, when the Steelers have the ball, I don't like the way Lev Bell ran against Indy. He is not breaking tackles. He's not showing the burst that he is capable of, that's for sure. Now we got a short week, and that was off a bye. Maybe it was just kind of a rusty game, you know, one of those type of deals. So we'll see. But Tennessee is much easier to throw against than they are to run. I would think, especially at home, you kind of put this game on Ben. The secondary's okay. It's young. Byard is making a lot of big plays, lead the league in interceptions, and Ben will certainly throw some to the other team and make bad decisions. That's a huge key tonight. Logan Ryan will probably play the slot a high percentage. That's against Juju Smith-Schuster, who's been highly effective there, and maybe I could see some deep shots there, you know, to Juju against Ryan. It's kind of the strength of Juju lately and the weakness of Ryan, not the fastest dude. Adoree Jackson's been much better, and they'll probably use him some on offense, and he's a wild card as a special team returner as well. I would think he'll see a lot of AB or Bryant or Martavis. I would think Bryant's physicality gives him problems, and I just think Brown gives everybody problems. And top receivers have been doing a lot of damage to this secondary lately. We saw A.J. Green do it last week. I think Antonio Brown goes bonkers tonight. I mean, like 180 yards, two or three touchdowns bonkers. That they just don't have an answer for him. Maybe get Bell a little more involved as a receiver, split out wide. I could see Ben in empty sets in the shotgun, five, you know, spread the field, attack different matchups that he likes. So in the end, I'm taking the Steelers, although keep an eye on their special teams have not been great. They've been allowing some, you know, issues for sure on special teams. I'm going to take the Steelers like 27-24, right in that neighborhood. I do think that the best football could be ahead for Tennessee, but super short week. I think the Steelers are the more, you know, talented team, and I don't know if the matchups favor Tennessee all that well. But I think Mariota's healthier now. You guys know I'm a big fan of his. I can see him doing well. I'm kind of really excited to watch him tonight. All right, as usual on Thursday, it is also Twitter Thursday. I don't have a ton of questions for you, so it'll be a little bit of a short one, and I got a lot of stuff to do, to be honest with you. But I'm enjoying chatting with you and a little bit more of an extended Thursday preview than usual with my Steeler background. But my man Charles asks, are you going to check out Justice League and give us your assessment of how Aquaman is portrayed? he knows Aquaman's my favorite superhero. And I'm not saying he's my favorite superhero, but by far the most underrated superhero and the baddest of the superheroes, in my opinion. And I mean that in a good way. Because the Earth is 73% water, and it's all his. He has no competition. As for Justice League, I'm sure I will watch it when it comes to HBO or whatever. I rarely go to the movies. I will probably I will definitely go see the new Star Wars when it comes out, but I'm good for like a movie every 2 years or so, and then hit them up whenever they come out to Stars and Cinemax and all that. Although, then I always miss them because I forget what's coming out and I don't stay on top of it, and it's bad. Like, my wife and I will sit down on the couch and be like, okay, let's do a movie. And we scroll through everything. I'm like, I've never heard of any of these. What are we going to watch? But Justice League is one I watch probably without her. And we'll check that one out. Yeah. Hot Take Higgins says, should the Giants play Davis Webb to see what they have in him? It's interesting you ask this because I just turned in an article for The Score talking about 10 different quarterback situations in the league. Just a couple sentences on each. You know, should Denver go to Lynch? Should the Giants go to Webb? What do the Jets do? And I came to the conclusion that the Giants, although I think Manning's playing a little bit better than I thought, but I do think he's basically spent, that I would go to Webb at this point and just see. You know, I mean, I think you just need them to learn, just see where he's at. The season's shot. And, of course, the problems with these situations are, if you're Ben McAdoo, you're like, well, I'm just going to lose games with Davis Webb. I mean, I'm trying to save my job here. And Eli gives him a better chance to win games and save his job. And you throw Webb in there, it might be really, really nasty. But I think it's the right move for the organization. And that's how I approached the article. I think it comes out this evening, maybe tomorrow, but I'll be tweeting it about, if I was, what's the best thing for the organizations? And for example, I said play Hackenberg, kind of for the same reasons too. Do I have a lot of faith in Hackenberg or Webb? No. But at least if you could see him for 5 or 6 games or so at the end of the year, you'd have a much better eval of who he is. McCown's been a success, but he's super old. You know what I'm saying? Didier asks, watching Texans-Rams, is Andrew Whitworth a Hall of Famer? I think he is. Is what Didier says. I'm warming up to it for sure. Because you got to think about, how does he compare to the other top tackles and linemen of his generation? And this generation's light. You know, he's not competing against Bisselli, Ogden, Pace, Walter Jones. He's competing against Joe Thomas, Jason Peters, who I would rank ahead of him. But I think he'd probably be next on that list, you know, and then the next generation will be like the Tyron Smiths, who's certainly on a Hall of Fame pace. And I think Whitworth going to the Rams and playing as well as he is really helps his cause, too. You know, like a new team, you know, a leader, going to go to the playoffs. So I think that's about an on-the-fence as you can get, and I would not object if he goes. He's been really, really good for a long time, and he's not done yet, which is huge. So maybe another year or two, and then I'd really be on board. But again, which is usually not my case for Hall of Famers, I would say I'm 50-50 on that one. If he didn't get in, I'd be like, I get it. Really good, but it's a tough position to go. Or if he went, I'd be like, yeah, I mean, he deserves a bust. I'm cool with that. Tyler Weber asks, is Case Keenum destined to be the next Ryan Fitzpatrick, Josh McCown? Maybe. He's certainly been on his share of teams already, like those guys. I mean, definition of journeyman, stopgap guy, good team player, hold the fort down, bridge quarterback. But he's also listed in that quarterback article I wrote, you know, the Bridgewater versus Keenum debate, and I lean towards Keenum. I mean, a lot of it's because I don't trust Bridgewater. And, oh, by the way, Bridgewater's never played in this system. I mean, he is a different coordinator when he was there. So I don't quite understand why we're super-duper excited by Bridgewater. I didn't love the way he played before that. But I do think Keenum, despite those two awful throws, which they were bad, and they brought the Skins back in the game, and he will probably do that from time to time. And I also don't exactly know that he's the man that can take the Vikings to the Super Bowl, but I also don't know that Bridgewater is. Bridgewater, I think, could be uglier. I mean, the lows, I think, could be lower. But I think Keenum's playing well. He's not taking sacks. He's not turning the ball over. Him and Thielen have been unbelievable together. That I think I would ride that out. So, Duncan Eastman asks, in the league today, which historic offense and defense would be the most dominant? For example, 2007 Pats and 85 Bears. I'm not avoiding your question, and I'm going to keep it local here for the Steelers. You know, like, those 70 Steeler D were unbelievable, particularly the year they didn't win the Super Bowl, 76, I think it was. But, you know, like, Joe Green was only 275 pounds, and Jack Ham was, like, 210, and Lambert was 210, you know, and Mel Blount was bigger than them. But if you're asking, you know, if we threw the 70s Steelers or the 60s Packers running attack on the field against the Bengals today, they wouldn't be dominant. They'd get pushed all over the field. You know what I mean? So maybe I'm misreading your question, because I really think this game, as much as any, you have to compare apples to apples. You know, the 85 Bears to the other mid-80s defenses, the 90s Cowboys teams to the other teams of that era. And the further back you go, I mean, the game has changed so much faster and so much different than, say, baseball or other sports, that I think. I mean, just because everyone's gotten so much faster and so much more throwing, and size is so much different. So I'm not ignoring you, you know, but, like, if the 2007 Pats played the 85 Bears D, I mean, the 2007 Pat, what would they do with Randy Moss? You know, like, sure, Brady would probably get hit a ton, and Belichick would figure out a way to probably cut that down. But their O-line's all 310 and super strong. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not sure it's apples to apples. All right, my last one I'm going to take is Duncan Eastman. Which coaches do you see getting fired either before the season ends or after week 17? I'm not going to predict which of those two, but let's scan the league super fast as we do by division. Patriots, no. Jets, I would hope not. I think Miami's safe. I know the Bills are safe. Whew. I get birdies are telling me that the Bengals are done, that this will be Lewis's last hurrah. And I got to think that the Browns better do something quick, or that leash might get cut too. I've also heard Hugh Jackson could go back to Cincy in that situation. Baltimore's safe, but their seat is actually a little warm for the first time in forever. Pittsburgh is safe. I think Pagano should be safe, but won't be. I think he's gone. Tennessee is safe. Jacksonville's safe. The Texans, safe. I don't think Denver's safe. I think they're a 50-51, that they better do something. You know, like, if you go out losing by 30 every week, I think you're gone. You better have a big game or two. Oakland is safe. Chargers are safe. Kansas City's safe. NFC, Giants, I think, are cooked. Cowboys are safe. Eagles are safe, of course. I think Washington is safe, but their quarterback situation isn't. Tampa, I think, is cooked. Carolina's safe. New Orleans is safe, unless he decides to retire or move on or whatever. Atlanta's safe. They were in the Super Bowl last year. Green Bay is safe. I don't think Chicago's safe. I think Fox is probably done, and they probably look for a quarterback whisperer type. You know, I would think they would love to get the next McVay. You know, it would be, you know, the ideal role model type head coach they would love for Trubisky. Lions safe. Vikes safe. I already did the South. Rams safe. Seattle safe. Niners safe. Cardinals safe unless retirement. So, that's about the norm. I mean, five or six. I know a lot of people have been saying, like, seven, eight. This would be the the most firing we've ever seen of head coaches. And I'm just having a, you know, just scan the league like we just did. Where am I wrong? I mean, send me a tweet of, Matt, you're crazy. There's no way X team is keeping their head coach. I mean, I think I'm pretty close. I bet I'm within one way or another. So, all right, man, that is a wrap. Good show. Tomorrow we will pick all the games as usual. We'll recap Titans Steelers, see how that goes. And over and out. Take care.